Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It Board Game Edition. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. There will be no Mike today because he did not have the pleasure of sitting down with us to play the probably most highly anticipated game for the last 6 months, easily, Scythe. It finally came out, Scythe, however, whatever. But Stonemaier Games. So this was a Kickstarter event that kind of, if you pay attention to the board gaming world, kind of took it by storm earlier last year or in the middle of last year, and everybody was basically waiting for this game to come out. It finally came out, and we played it pretty much all day yesterday. So, it's a time of unrest in 1920s Europa. The ashes from the First Great War still darken the snow. The capitalistic city-state, simply known as the Factory, which fueled the war with heavily armored mechs, has closed its doors, drawing the attention of several nearby countries. There's way more to the synopsis, but I'm not going to go and read a paragraph and a half for you. Let's dive in and see if the hype was worth it. I think right off the bat, my biggest, I don't want to say regret, but I'm more of a, I'll save my judgments for when I actually get to witness, hear, play with, whatever, the different mediums are. I save my judgments till after I've experienced them. This game, it feels like most people were thinking it was going to be the greatest game since sliced bread before they even knew anything about it. Oddly enough, in our small group of gaming nerds, we all, Jesus Christ, all told we have easily over $1,000 worth of board games I'm staring at just here in my house, which has kind of been the storage for most of our people. But Chris doesn't really game with us very often. He kind of lives farther than the rest. He's the one that ended up buying this game, so, which is intriguing. It's not so much, not only does he not game with us that often, but he doesn't game that often, period. So for him to jump right into this such a heavy thing, like he's maybe played X-Wing with us a handful of times and, Risk 2012 once that lasted about 6 days. But, it's weird that he was so pumped about it, not even really being that big of a gamer. But I guess what sucks about it is the fact that he's not one of the people that leaves his games here. So now we can't play it till he brings it back.
Or we go to his house to play it.
Or until we go there to play it. Which, whatever. I'm fine either way because he does live a lot closer now than he used to. But it's basically, it's not super groundbreaking. There's no new mechanics that aren't there already. It's a typical, you place your workers out. It's worker placement, resource management type of game. Really not much more to it. There's mild combat that chances are you won't even see. You might see, but, whatever. But basically, the basis is everyone starts in their own little nation, and you start with two workers, and then every turn you get one action, and those are specified on your player mat. And you have four actions you can start with, and then there's two actions per square. You can move, you can
produce,
you can gain, energy, as they call it, and you can gain popularity, as they call it. There's a couple other things, too, I think, that are on there, but those are your main basic four types of actions. And producing is, wherever you have workers, you can produce on two squares. So, what really becomes hard later in the game is when you've got, if you have all 80 of your workers out, and even if you fully upgraded your producing ability, you can still only produce on four squares. So, part of the game is controlling as much land as possible, but it's kind of pointless if you can't produce on it. It's kind of weird. Plus, a lot of your actions cost money. if you want to do some of the more major actions, which are the bottom actions, and you only start with a small amount and you don't always get a lot and you can't quote unquote produce money. You have to acquire it through the use of your actions or whatever. But overall, the pieces are amazing. The game is... We'll get into detail in a minute, I guess. But any opening thoughts before we dig in here?
Well, just to start, because you're talking about the producing. A lot of games of the Euro variety or of this type of area control, resource management, I guess it's called engine building, which makes sense. You're taking different actions on your player board to affect actions on the main board. Unlike a lot of games where you basically build up your resources to produce at the beginning of each round, a lot of those games have like a sort of specified amount of rounds, or at least a sort of like an unspoken amount of rounds that you're expected to be playing. Like if a game doesn't have a set amount of rounds, you could pretty much figure by like round 10 the game's going to be pretty well open. It all depends like what the conditions are, as far as first one to get 50 points, first one to complete 7 rounds, first one to do whatever. This game is basically, you could produce anything. Like, and some other games will be like, you can only produce what resources you acquire throughout the game, and then eventually the resources run out, and that's all you can produce, and then the rest you got to buy. This game you produce based upon what area, what hexes on the map you currently have occupation of, but you don't produce every round. You only produce when you launch a produce action, and that really depends on what other things you need to get done. You may need to get this thing that's all the way over there, which is going to be, okay, I need to move, and I need to get there as quickly as possible before someone beats me to it, so maybe I don't want to spend too much time producing. I want to get all the way across the map. So maybe you want to unlock your mech that can go submerge, like one of the race that I had submerge, where you can essentially go underwater and then pop up on another lake tile anywhere else on the board, which is super huge. As you unlock your mechs, every time you do, you unlock a new ability, and that can definitely affect how often you're going to produce, because you might, like I said, you might need to move. Somebody might be on a tile that, they're vulnerable, and that's the resource you need. So, yeah, you can go fight this guy over here with 3 mechs, 2 workers, and their main character, or you can just go to the other tile that's over there a little ways, has the same resources, but only 1 worker, and there's nobody else around, and you could kind of just show up and flick them off the map. Now you can produce, assuming you have workers. Just so many. What it is, it's basically you have, in the beginning, 4 really kind of complicated decisions, each, and they're all like powered by a lot of small, simple decisions. The actual actions themselves are fairly straightforward if you've played Euro games. It's the deciding when the best time to do it. This game is, because I remember we said before that Belfort can be really punishing if you make a mistake. I feel like almost like this game will put you in a position to screw yourself if you let it happen, which sounds kind of weird, but I don't know how to explain. There's so many different ways to do the various different things that you need to do to launch a win condition in this game. You can go the entire game without engaging in one single battle, or you can try to control the map, but then you got to manage your popularity. How are you going to do that if you're constantly attacking people? So many options in this game. I mean, there's so many different ways to play, and the bottom boards, like the boards that control the actions, every single one of them are different. Some might have a produce and a build action as the bottom action. Some might have a walk action and a enlist action. And the costs are all different. And then when you add on your actual race, you get modifiers that might be like, you can attack people without losing popularity. You can take 2 of the 3 actions on an encounter card. There's so many different combinations. And we played with the Visitors from Afar expansion, which I thought was going to add more content to the game. It doesn't. It just adds 2 new races, but it also gives you 2 new player boards, which, again, now you have 7 races, 7 different player boards, so you've literally got roughly 49 combinations you can come up with, which can just totally... And, like, 4 of the 7 races are landlocked, So you have to build a tunnel to get over into the main part. You definitely want to get to the factory early. There's a million. I'm just kind of explaining the whole game.
I mean, at this point, we could just read them the rule book.
Yeah, I could do that.
All right, so we'll jump right into what specifically we liked about the game. And personally, as Brian was just talking about all the different races, and each race has their own, you know, ability. And I feel like lots of games do this. But I also feel that this game does it in such a way that, I mean, each race's ability is so profoundly different from the rest that you really feel like they put more thought into it. I don't know, just it's really quite amazing, because as we were playing, I'm like, oh, so, you know, what does your guy do? Oh, he does this. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. And then, like, Brian was telling me what his guy did. I'm like, oh, my God, that's a fucking game changer. And I was asking Max, oh, what does your guy do? Oh, I can do this. It's, for instance, like, you've got your four main actions. When you get to the factory, you get to draw from a deck of cards, or you get to look through a deck, the deck of factory cards, and that gives you a fifth action. That's kind of a power action, I guess you could say. But you can never do the same action two turns in a row. Max's guy allowed him to do that, and you could tell, because, I mean, he was producing his face off. You know, by the end of the, you know, halfway through the game, we're running out of resources because Max has them all.
Right, but he's also doing it at the sake of his own popularity. So he's at, like, zero on the popularity scale, and that's really the key to scoring at the end of the game.
Right. But, you know, and, like, well, like, for instance, Brian's, I believe, was, you know, when your main character lands on certain spacers, there's these tokens, and you get to draw an encounter card. There's three options. You pick one of them. You do it. They're pretty beneficial, depending on which way you want to go. He was able to do more than one of those. Whereas everyone else can only do one, he can do two, which was kind of awesome. For me, right off the bat, I didn't have to wait until I built my mech. Because when you build, like Brian said, a lot of the characters are landlocked. So in order to get through the water, you have to build the mech that allows you to cross water. And even then, it's only under specific conditions. And even then, you have to carry your workers across. They can't just willy-nilly go on their own. So if you don't have a mech there, your guys are screwed. Well, when the second game that we played, my workers were able to cross rivers right off the bat. So that was, like, huge for me. But it was too much power. I couldn't handle it, and I totally screwed myself. But that's a whole nother story.
Are we on what we liked?
Yeah. I was basically just saying the diversity in the characters and their special abilities are very well done. Extremely. I mean, there's more to the game than I like, but that was, like, one thing that stuck with me.
One thing that I liked, and it's a super small thing, but I just thought it was great, is every race has a main character, and they're all plastic gray models like standard board games generally tend to come with. They're sculpted models, and they're just gray, but each one has a different colored base, so you don't get confused going, wait, which guy is my... Because, like, okay, Talisman... When you get into expansions and so on, you have like 50 gray models. It's kind of difficult sometimes to go, wait, who's the dwarf? Who's the elf? Am I the mage? Which one's the mage? Where am I at? It's pretty simple to pick up, roll a six, move your guy, and go, oh, that's not me. And then you got to move the guy back. Then you got to find your guy. And then you're like, oh, my options actually suck now. This is the worst. It's a super small thing, but it ends up being like you never feel like you lose track of your player. Like I said, a lot of these games, it's like you produce every round. So every round, you know, I'm going to start with three food, one oil, blah, blah, blah. This game is you produce as needed, depending on what areas you control. And this game, unlike other area control games, where you're basically fighting to control as much area on the map as possible just for sake of, you know, spreading out, this game more or less has you fighting over space based upon need, not upon just like, I'm trying to take over the whole map. If you try to go that route, you will never, ever, ever get anywhere, because it is not that kind of area control game at all. And like I said, like he was saying with the Riverwalk thing, when you first look at it, you're like, oh, we all have Riverwalk. That's dumb. But then actually you find out, no, not everybody does have Riverwalk. For example, the races that aren't landlocked aren't going to have Riverwalk because there's no need for it. They can pretty much get back and forth. And the only places they can't really go is your home base. But, you know, if you have Riverwalk, generally you only have two options out of, like, the five or six. So, like, this guy can Riverwalk, but only to farms and villages. This guy can Riverwalk, but only to mountains and plains. And it's just like, it can totally cause you to consider, you have to consider all your moves, like turns in advance, and prepare for somebody to block it inadvertently and then have you go, fuck, that throws off my next six turns. And I love that. I know it sounds crazy, it's like masochism, but I completely love this whole idea that like you're slowly but surely formulating this master plan in your head and have somebody just move one guy there and you're like, fuck, you son of a bitch, you ruined everything. But you know, you don't want to say that, but it happened to me yesterday. I mean, it wasn't a big thing, but there was an instance where I was eyeballing something going, please don't let anybody see that. And then Jeff took his piece and just went, bloop, I think I'll just move here. And I'm like, oh my God, everything is ruined. That sort of thing, that sort of intensity is what I want in almost every single game. Components, amazing. Graphic design, amazing. The game's so fluid and seamless. I had crazy expectations. I feel like they've all been met. I just was like, I really was thinking like, this game is going to be the best, and it is pretty close to
it. It was pretty neat.
And also, if you want to get nuts with it, you can buy the extension second board so you can play with hexes that are twice the size if you have a 7-player game, which I, unless you're setting aside an entire day, I don't recommend it. I know some people don't like long games. I tend to like longer games, especially when they're super engaging the way this one, because all the turns are really fast. That's the thing. You pick your action, you do the top action, you do the bottom action, boom. Generally, if you're following everybody else's turn, you know what your next turn or three turns is going to be anyway. So it's just a matter of waiting for this guy to say, okay, I'm done. Then you, boom, you move your thing, you do your actions, and then you move it to the next guy. There's no like, okay, I got to move my piece. Now I got to do this. Now I flip a card. There's none of that. It's pretty much every turn's fast, generally speaking, until you get thwarted, which luckily for me, it didn't happen a lot in the second game.
See, you just got done saying that, you know, you can never, never, never blah, 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 because it's not that kind of area control. But that kind of was my plan for the second game. It just, I completely botched it. And it was going to be very hard to do, but I think if you do it correctly, there is a beneficial way to control more of the map, only because then you're restricting the resources that your opponents can get, and the resources in this game are probably more important than any other game because
right.
They are so scarce with that, and that brings us right into what we didn't like about the game.
Well, I was just going to say before you do that, I feel like if you try to do that route, you're going to spread yourself so thin that you're not going to be able to get enough resources to be able to accomplish that anyway.
All you need is your 4 mechs out, and then you go kick everyone's farmers out.
Yeah.
In a way, if you do it correctly, because you don't technically kill their guys. They just go back to their capital city, which could be four or five spaces away.
At that point, in my opinion, and I clearly somebody could prove me wrong if they so chose to do so, but I feel like if you try to do that, somebody else is going to, while you're knocking this guy around like a whack-a-mole, all these other players are going, well, if he's going to focus on that, I'll just move my guys here, move my guys there, move my guys there.
Well, like I said, it's a little more planning than just willy-nilly knocking one guy around. My plan was to do it to you and Max, but it didn't work out at all whatsoever because, again, back to what we didn't like about it, I didn't like the resources in this game. Like, it didn't seem to be that big of a deal the first game. I felt like, okay, it's not bad. But unlike some of these guys, I never got all 8 of my workers out because after you, there's you have your popularity track, which you generally start anywhere from 1 to, like, say, 4. You don't really start that high on it. And then you have your energy track, which you usually start between about the same, about 1 and 4. And after you put your, well, you start with 2 guys, so after you put out 2 more guys, now, every time you produce, you got to take down on your energy track. You put out 2 more guys. Now you're taking down on the energy track and your popularity track just to produce. And when you produce, you can only produce on 2 of your sites. So if you got guys on 8 different squares, you can only produce on 2 of those. Now, when you upgrade, you can produce on 3. But, you know, if this costs me 4 wood to build my mech, I have no upgrades on that, but I've got all my workers out. It's going to cost me an energy, a heart, help me out here. what's the fourth one? A coin. And now all I'm going to get is if I've got two workers on there, yeah, great, I got two wood, but now it costs four to build. Like, it's very difficult to maintain some of the resources, and you only start the game out with a couple bucks. So when you run out of money, every single bottom action plus some of the main actions even cost money to do. So why isn't there like a gold mine somewhere on the board where when you produce, oh, I'm going to produce two coins? Because you can move or you can collect a coin. Like, I feel like it's very restrictive with the resources, the movement, the coins. And I get you can't just hand all this shit out to everybody. But the second game, I wasn't able to do anything because I had no money. I had no energy. And I just sat there. And by the end of it, I just started concentrating on popularity, because the higher you are on the popularity track, the more points you get at the end of the game. So at that point, I'm never going to have enough money to do anything. I can't get any resources. I was basically stuck, because you can only do one thing at a time. And if I want to produce, well, I need to take down on the energy and I need to take down on my popularity. My popularity is high, but my energy is only at two. So if I want to build my energy up, I got to use that action to build my energy up. But then I'm not building my popularity and I'm not producing. It's just, it was just extremely stingy on the production side, when the whole point of the game is farming / production. I mean, the combat aspect of it is a nice side note, but like, you know, there was hardly any combat in 8 hours of playing this game yesterday.
Well, I was going to say that's one thing, another thing that I liked about this game. A lot of these resource management games are, when you produce resources, they're yours, and they're pretty much your currency. This game, when you produce resources, you produce them, but they're not really yours.
Oh, yeah.
They are, until someone steals them from you.
Yeah, they stay on the board. When you produce, they go into your hex. And if someone kicks you out of that before you spend it, that's now their resources. That part is fucking amazing. I love that.
I love that, because it's like...
I'm not harping on that at all. That was baffling at first, but that is amazing. I think that is amazing. It's great. I would never argue that. But the production in this game, it costs so much to produce if you have so many workers out, because I just feel like charging you money, energy, and popularity to produce is super counterproductive, which I get you can't, it kind of has to be, but it's very, very brutal. At least it was for me in that second game. And I'll understand, because I know you guys didn't really have that problem yesterday, but one day you're going to have that problem. You're going to know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying it's something everyone's going to experience right away, but you will get to that game where you're just like, holy shit, I can't do anything. And that totally ruined that second
game. I can't speak to that necessarily. I felt like there were some things I did wrong in the first game that definitely cost me opportunities. But I felt like, all right, the second game, I'm like, okay, I see how this game works. You really have to follow up on each turn meticulously. You can't have wasted turns in this game. You really got to go, okay, this is going to inform this, which is going to make this happen, which is going to allow me to do this. You have to follow through on a plan. You cannot just go, well, I'll just see what happens. And because the resources are scarce and they stay out, they're up for grabs, essentially. Just to double back, we played a game of Champions of Midgard about a year and a half ago. A friend of ours was here, and side note, he was high the whole time. Kind of relevant, because his character was, end the game with the most amount of food and you get bonus points. It was never going to be enough bonus points for him to win. But again, when you're high, you're not all there paying attention to finer details of every other thing going on sometimes. Anyhow, because the resource becomes yours as you collect it, he was just collecting food the entire game. So he had a mountain of food in front of him. And I was like, I mean, it's funny, but I don't really see how you're going to win that way. This game, you can't do that. It's all on the board. It's all generally up for grabs. It's hard because movement is so slow, because it's a big map and it doesn't allow you to go, I'll just go eight spaces, blah, 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 blah.
Like, not to cut you off, but that's another thing. The move action, you can move two guys, one space apiece. So if you have all eight workers out, all four mechs out, and your guy out, you have 13 guys on the board. You can move two of them one space.
Or sometimes if you have modifiers, you can move one of them two spaces.
Yes, if you have, if you make it to the factory with your character, you get a card. And the bottom action on that is always to move one guy two spaces, which is nice, but now you're only moving one guy instead of two. Mind you, if you have 13 guys on the board, and yes, your workers can be carried by the max, I get it, but I don't know. I feel like I need to play this game about 7 or 8 more times before, so I can really kind of hammer out some of these theories I have in my head.
I don't disagree. I thought about it last night in bed. I'm like, man, if I'd have just done this, I could have done this. I can't believe so-and-so. Because, okay, again, there was a move I did early on, and as the game wore on, Chris was sitting to my, I mean, physical right, but he was on the other side of the table, and I'm like watching him, and I'm going, I can't believe he hasn't kicked me out of that spot yet. It's been fucking wide open to him for like 9 turns now, and he's just sitting there not doing anything. Just stuff like that. I kept thinking, man, if he would just move this guy in the other direction, then I could start encroaching in his shit. That would be amazing. But I can't do that, and it's just, I don't know where the hell I was going with that. Truthfully, I kind of lost my... But like you're saying, like I started thinking about things I did, things I would have done, things I could have done, should have done, wanted to do, and I was like, man, there's just not... For a game that's this long, I feel like, man, there's... We've talked about it with Belfort, you know, that 8th season might make a difference. I feel like, man, this game is long, and I felt like, fuck, there's so many things I could have done or wanted to do that I didn't get a chance to do. And like we said, we found out early in that first game, getting to the factory is crucial. So if you're landlocked, building that tunnel is a must. That should be your first priority. First priority, get that tunnel out, which you're going to need to do by getting as many additional workers as you possibly can with your limited resources right in the first 5 turns. Get that tunnel built and get at least one mech on the board, and then get your character out. That was one thing I watched a couple times yesterday. People just sat on their character on their home base, and I'm like, dude, you can't do anything in this game, really, beyond... I mean, because each... Characters can be involved in combat, but really your mechs are your combat and transport. Your workers really are garbage except for getting resources, but you need resources to get the mechs. So all that stuff, like every little thing, they can't do certain things, but they can do certain things that allow you to do other certain things. That it's this weird circle where like each thing can only do up to something, but if you don't do this, you can't do, and it's just... Man, the amount of thought that went into how this game works, I haven't gotten to the things I don't like yet, which we've been on now for like...
True.
But I don't have anything yet. I'll get there, because I do have one thing. But anyway, like I said, there's so many little things to consider, and so, like I said, so much thought and detail went into this game, and I'm just like blown away. I'm like, how do you even conceive of this? You must just like... And you like sit in a dark closet with just a notepad and like... All right, I'm going to think all this stuff, and then I'm going to write it all down, and hope I write the words down in the dark, and then I don't know.
Right. Pretty now. Much, yeah.
All right, what I don't like about this game, it's not in my collection.
That doesn't work.
I don't have it yet.
These are your rules. You got to think of something.
Okay.
Chris Jr.
Okay. The combat is scarce in this game.
I like how the combat takes a back seat.
And die rolling in combat is pretty standard, and it kind of can screw you in a way, because you can have the upper hand in terms of armies or different units, and then a bad die roll can screw it all up. Whereas in this game, it's basically you look at your combat cards and go, okay, I really don't have much, but I got a lot of... artillery, I think it was called, or energy, like you said. But you can only spend up to 7. You can have 14, but you can only spend up to 7. So you're like, do I take a chance and waste half my energy with this number 2? Or do I... You can try and negotiate your way out of it. Man, I don't really know what I'd... I seriously don't have anything. Because like, even like the factory... Like yesterday when I was on the factory first, and then you came and kicked me off, basically. I had already gotten my 5th... action card or whatever, that factory card, And at first I was like, man, you should not be able to, the factory should be neutral zone. But then I think about it and I'm like, well, no, because what if somebody just decides to sit there for the rest of the day?
It's worth three tiles at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the game, if you see the end in sight and you move your guy there, fine. But in the beginning of the game, what if somebody's like, well, I'm going to move here, and I'm just going to hang out here because screw it. Because
then others can't get their card.
Right, that's what I'm saying, and I get that, but I feel like that shouldn't be allowed, and it's not. So
it is.
No, you could sit there all day, but somebody can easily just waltz in and fight you.
They can fight you. It might not be easy. Depends. I mean, if I bring my character and three mechs in there, you guys ain't doing the Hulk.
Right, exactly. Man, I don't know. Come back to me on this one. Or you already went.
I did.
You did go.
What about you, studio guy number three?
Okay. The player boards were kind of warped. And I felt like, man, these are really nice looking boards. And I know they're two boards glued together. I kind of, when I saw that, I was just like, man, that's unfortunate. All right. I was under the impression there were werewolves, and I didn't see any werewolves in it.
I guess we'll just plow right into what we would do differently. And like I was, the only thing I think I would do different is, along with, I mean, like I said, there's, you have to be in a village to produce another worker. You have to be in the forest to produce wood. You have to be in the mountains to produce iron, and you have to be on a farm to produce food. I think there should be a couple of mine spaces where you can produce gold. But I think instead of doing that, they put the lakes in there to kind of make it harder to move around. But it's really not, because, I mean, you can warp all over that board pretty much willy-nilly, to you, especially once you get Riverwalk or whatever, Submerge. Everyone has their own different ability for crossing water. But, and I understand, and here's the thing, it's too, it's kind of weird, like, the one player board that I had yesterday, let's just say that it cost me 3 iron to build a mech, but I would build a mech and then get $3. But the top action would be, you know, whatever, which would cost me $1 to do. So if I don't have money, I can't even take that top action. But if you know, if you don't have money, you can't produce. It's just money, I think, is a very big part of this game, and it's, if you run out, you're fucking toast. Because everything eventually starts to cost money in this, especially because you can't, the winner is the guy with the most money after the first person puts all, you know, 6 of their stars out. I just think it would be nice to have a couple of mines on the board. You know, you don't have to have as many as there are players. You know what I mean? You can just have a couple and they're kind of elite, but you know, the sought after space that people go after. And also being able to produce on 2 spots is, I mean, that's one thing when you've only got 2 spots, but when you've got 8 workers spread across, say, you know, 6 different hexes, that's kind of a problem. Like, I don't understand why you can only produce on 2 hexes and 3 after you upgrade, and then you automatically can produce at your windmill when you build it. But, like, I don't know. The resources are very hard to come by. At least, and this is all going off the second game. The first game, I didn't seem to have this problem, so whatever. But maybe I just screwed up big time on the second game, but it'd be nice to see a mine. Basically, when you first sit down, look at your player's special ability, and you really need to play into it, because that's really going to aid you in survival and or win. Because my first one is I got to drop flags with my main character, and those automatically became claimed by me as long as nobody else was in them at the end of the game. I didn't have to have a person in there. And not only was it claimed, but it was worth 2 points instead of 1. I didn't drop them, but I dropped a couple, but I should have dropped more. But I don't know. I really need to play this again. And I'm kind of pissed because it ain't here. So,
well, actually, I did think of one thing that I was kind of like, okay, that's weird. Not necessarily something I didn't like, but I will kind of segue that into what I would do differently. The Japanese race... And one more, I don't know for sure which one, it might have been the one you played in the second game, have these ability tokens, and you said it, the flags was one of them. But the Japanese have traps that you can place on hexes that will, I don't know entirely what they do, but they basically can stunt someone's movements if they end up in that hex, which I don't know why you would go into a hex with a trap necessarily, but...
I don't know what the traps did. I never did actually find out.
I'm guessing what it does is maybe you go into a hex somebody's already in and throw a trap down and then trap them somehow. I don't know how it entirely
works. Stop them from coming in? Does it automatically deduct energy? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. What I'm, but I feel like if you're going to give two of the races out of seven four ability tokens, every race should have some ability token as well. Like something that is completely unique to them and something that other players have to consider when they move around and when they're deciding if they're going to try and move in on you or not. Because I feel like that gives those two races an advantage. And there are already two races that have the advantage of not being landlocked right out of the gate.
I had that the first game, and I did pretty fine. I mean, I didn't win, but I was doomed.
Right, because, I mean, if you could start moving towards the factory right away and you don't have to build that tunnel, that gives you, like, it kind of gives you, like, possibly two extra or somebody else can. So it might give you the pick of the litter in terms of those last cards. That's really about it. I mean, other than that, like, the traps had no. Jeff had the Japanese race, and he had the traps out, and, like, I had issue with them because I was nowhere near him.
Yeah, you were on the opposite end of the board, but he didn't spread out either. He stayed very close to home. Just produced the whole time. Produced and built. He didn't expand his empire.
I mean, honestly, none of us really did, but I did move my guys between where I existed because this guy can do this and I need him here. And then I'll move
I wanted
him
to, but I need to do some stuff and I have no money, so I need money, so I got to do that action. Well, there goes my move because moving and money, you can do one or the other. You can either move or you can collect $2. You know what I mean? And I always went for the money because I needed the money to build shit or do shit. And it was so frustrating. But again, it was probably just poor planning on my part. But, you know, whatever. I'll play it a few more times and I'll maybe revisit this. But probably not. But
you never know.
All right. Final thoughts before we score it and quit.
High expectations, met all of them, super into it. I want to marry that game near me in bed.
That's weird. No expectations, because a lot of things over the years have been extremely hyped and ended up sucking. So I didn't really have expectations. Although the artwork did look amazing. And yes, this game was an absolute blast to play. And you could tell that there was a lot of thought put into this game. So two thumbs up. I don't have any more thumbs.
All right. I'm giving this a 10 because I can't give it a 12. 10 all the way is probably as close to flawless of a game as I've ever played to this point. I could think of a few other games that are like high on my list, but this one is about as mechanically sound as I can think of.
I don't know if I can go that high yet, only because I've only played it twice. I would like to play some of the other races and really kind of dig in for
that's another couple of weeks.
So
that's another thing too, is I feel like the combination of like engine, whatever you want to call those, your action cards or action boards and the races with seven races, seven different boards. Like I said, there's 49.
Yeah. Right.
Like you could play 49 games with 49 different, and I played the same exact board and race both games, and I got two vastly different results. Based upon better planning and, you know, making the most of my, like, mid-game actions. Like, let's not rush into this. Let's work towards this, this, and this. And who cares if Jeff has 3 stars on the board? I only have one. But let's not get hasty. Let's stick to the plan. And it worked. Whereas the second game, I'm like, first guy on the board, I'm like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, we both have two. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm getting my butt kicked here. What the hell?
Yeah.
So, again, stick to the plan. That's the way to win.
Yeah, I mean, I had a clear plan in my head, but my plan did not coincide with the fact that Brian had just ended the game. Womp womp. Really need to pay attention to when you think someone else is going to end. That's really, because it's not like every other game where once he ends the game, you all get one more turn. No, once he puts his 6th star out, that's it. That's all she wrote, son. It's over.
Yeah, and again, just because you end the game does not mean you will win, which I thought was amazing.
No, God, no. But yeah, no, this game is very, very highly. It met the hype for me, absolutely. So there you have it. Go out, pick it up. Scythe. I'm not exactly 100% Scythe.
It's Scythe. It's by Stonemaier Games. I have played now three of the four Stonemaier titles that are currently available, and they've all been nines or better. So yeah, this company is
hot to trot.
I don't know why this guy's not living in a gold-plated house right now, but someone should
with
get
a
him
rocket car.
With a rocket car, like Chester Lampwick, but somebody should get Jamie Stegmaier a gold-plated house with rocket car, because all three games, and I haven't played Between Two Cities yet, and I'm super pumped for what is it, Charterstone, that's coming out this year, because it's the first Legacy game I've ever been interested to play.
Interested.
I just don't like the idea of, like, once you play through the 10 campaigns, your game's pretty much done. Like, all right,
But whatever. There you have it. You can follow me on Twitter at XorcinX. You can follow Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can check out all of our reviews at ReviewAndRoast.com, and you can listen to all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. Until then, have a good week.